We're going to go ahead and get started with this afternoon session, the 12:30 session entitled Community-Based Planning, Research, and Services. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces here, as well as some new faces of colleagues that we've worked very closely with. And we hope that this afternoon will be a very engaging session where we can talk about a variety of community-based models, evaluation tools that have been developed through CDC's Healthy Communities Program, as well as technical assistance and surveillance activities. My name is Shannon Griffin Blake. I am the team lead for program services and evaluation within CDC's Healthy Communities Program. I'll be serving both as the session moderator as well as one of the presenters. We have five presentations today, and I'm joined by three colleagues that I will very quickly introduce and ask them to come up in a sequential manner where we can get through the presentation material and hopefully have a nice bulk of time at the end for questions. If you do have a burning question or something that seems to be very timely, just raise your hand, if you will, at the end of the session. We'll try to cover that, but know that most of our dialogue will be held at the end of all of the presentations. I first want to introduce Phyllis Nichols, who joined CDC in 2000, originally with Epidemiology Program Office with the Community Guide for Preventative Services, reviewing evidence-based community interventions and authoring and co-authoring a number of manuscripts. She's also worked within the Division of Cancer Prevention and Control with the National Program of Cancer Registries as a public health advisor and the lead program evaluator, and she currently serves as a public health advisor for CDC's Healthy Communities Program. We also have Branlyn Williams here, who's a public health advisor for the past number of years within CDC's Healthy Communities Program. She's also served in a two-year field assignment within the Louisville Department of Public Health and Wellness, where she managed a community-based public health, physical activity and nutrition program designed to encourage Louisville citizens to move more and eat better. And finally, we have Lindsay Hemfield, who is a senior consultant with Booz Allen Hamilton and has served for the last 10 years in a public health capacity. She's a graduate of the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University and a very active member of APHA. So I want to first thank my co-presenters for being here. And again, I'm Shannon Griffin Blake. I have the pleasure of both overseeing and coordinating much of the programmatic and evaluation activities within CDC's Health Community as we work with both U.S. state and territory health departments, local health departments, and much of our national partners as well. So I'm going to be our first presenter. And before I move on, I just want to kind of talk about this title for a second. So, setting a policy agenda for community-level action. As we know, and I'm going to take a few minutes at the beginning of this presentation, not really a history lesson, but I think a nice background for why are we here today to talk about the shift in infectious disease to chronic disease, talk about chronic disease preparedness, and think about from a historical perspective, where has the culture shift over the last 100 to 200 years? And also the second piece of this presentation, mobilizing communities from their grassroots to grass tops. Grassroots seems to be a familiar term because we're talking about, again, creating that sense of ownership and mobilization among community residents, but then also moving that to what we call the grass tops. And I know some public health professionals call it the grass tips, which really is the engagement of key decision makers in the process of a policy agenda. I have no disclosure to say at this time. So let's take a quick look then from a historical perspective about the burden of chronic diseases and how we've had a shift over the last century or two. Again, if we think about in the 19th and 20th century, how much of what was impacting Americans' health was infectious disease from unsanitary work and living conditions. We also had excessive physical activity lifestyles, much because of the type of industry that occurred in the United States at this time around farming and factory work, and also the scarcity or the lack of food security, where again, we had a shift then over the last century or so where it's led to an excessive amount of access to really low density, high calorie foods, the 24/7 mentality of both convenience stores and the proliferation of fast food markets where you can get your food at any point in time during the day, very cheap, but at the same time, the quality of food has been of much over-processed foods. Of course, this has led to us examining, and this is just a map of the 48 states, where are the locations, many of the fast food markets. This is just McDonald's. If we added other ones like Burger King, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, it would probably be a full light bulb here. But at the same time, I just want to pose the question, if we were to have a similar map where we were actually having many of the grocery stores, bodegas, or corner markets that had quality, affordable foods, would we have a similar map? And I would probably gouge to say we would not. Again, it looks at the scarcity of food, how we start to price our food, the placement of food across the United States. But of course, it's not just in the USA we need to have this dialogue around. One of the fastest business markets that have left the US are the fast food market, where again, Subway, Burger King, and McDonald's are the fastest growing chains across international markets as well. Of course, we know that we're talking about expanding waistlines as we start to look at the proliferation of fast food markets. We're also looking at an explosion of chronic diseases, and what we have to examine more closely, again, is no longer are we talking about adult populations, but more importantly, youth and adolescents and how this is impacting their health. Of course, for many people in this room, that history lesson right there is something very real. We deal with that every day, but I think it's important for us to look back across history and examine that in the way we start to frame our public health interventions, our relationships, and even just framing our public health messages. This is a socio-ecological model that many of us use in our everyday work, and of course, we're having to reframe not only our public health approach, but more importantly, think about this as a social movement as we approach community-based interventions. We're trying to go beyond now the intersection here where the inner levels of the socio-ecological model that are focused on individual approaches or interpersonal approaches, which would be the nutrition classes, the grocery store demonstrations, or even the supermarket tours. We need to be moving to the external levels of the socio-ecological model. Really, we're talking about reframing our approaches to have a policy perspective, to be focused on policy systems and environmental changes. And again, I see that much of the work that's happening at the U.S. state and territory levels having that shift. Many of the national partners that we work very closely with are having that shift. And I just wanted to know that CDC has obviously been embracing this, with Dr. Frieden taking a very important focus on the policy agenda. So you're going to hear today about several approaches that we're taking as a CDC's Healthy Communities program as a whole. Again, we know from lessons learned that the policy agenda does work as we start to shift infrastructures and environments within the community. By making the healthy choice the easy choice, we're creating an increase in access and affordability to not only food and food security issues, but also physical activity, as well as access to quality and preventative health services. But most importantly, we're talking about sustainable change, community-wide change, which is very important as we think again about our public health approach. The mouse is not working. So again, there's an urgent need here that we have to begin to examine, and we have, I think, over the last several years. And again, this urgent need is calling out on a nationwide movement, and I think that's something that we're all talking about here at APHA. What's our role in this movement? What is the role of our partners and our colleagues, and also key communities that we're working with? How can we collectively work together to create a nationwide movement? CDC's Health to Communities program funds and works very closely with a number of key partners from STEPS Communities, Achieve Communities, REACH Communities, Strategic Alliance for Health Communities, and Pioneering Healthy Communities. And again, as I had a chance to come in and look across the audience, I see a lot of our key partners who are from these communities here today. The reason why I think it's important to look at this map initially is that you can see across not only the 50 states and territories, there are a number of communities who are stepping forward and saying, I want to be a part of this movement. We believe in a policy agenda. We believe that this work can happen as we think about sustainable change and community-based change, and we think it's an important relationship for us to continue to evolve. The work that we are embarking on really cuts across multiple sectors. You can see here community at large. We're kind of those community-based efforts, walkability, bikeability, food access, that's not specific to one entity or setting, but really across community piece. But also we can dive into additional sectors, healthcare, work sites, schools, community-based institution organizations that we look at as the faith-based institutions, the senior centers, the YMCAs, the community-based centers. They're such an important piece of any type of social movement. We also need to think about an integrated, comprehensive approach where we're not just thinking about categorical approaches of just cancer, of just cardiovascular disease, of just diabetes, or even their related risk factors, but taking on a more integrated approach where we're going into multiple sectors, impacting multiple chronic diseases that, of course, share those related risk factors. And again, we just list a few here around increasing opportunities, access that are very important in any type of social movement around chronic disease prevention or even chronic disease preparedness, which is a term I like to use because preparedness has that sense of urgency. We use it so much around terrorism and many of the threats that may occur both from a biological agent or even a natural catastrophe that may happen like a hurricane, but we need to start using similar language as we talk about chronic disease because, again, as we look at the trends that are occurring not only in the United States, but as we expand and look at the data across a global perspective, this is an urgent matter that needs to start to use the word preparedness very closely with it. So there are five key elements that we want to be able to discuss today, and my colleagues will be helping to kind of paint this broader picture. The five key elements that have been central to CDC's Health to Communities program has been about investing in communities, providing the resources, the funding, and the tools to communities so that they can already take their natural resources and to be able to use them and supplement them to create a community-wide, a community infrastructure change. Also working with national networks, which are key national partners, and as I said, U.S. state and territory health departments. As we think about creating the social movement, we have to bring in these partners that we already have key alliances with and begin to restructure them in a manner where we can begin to impact chronic diseases. There are a number of evaluation tools that we want to be able to talk about today, from assessment tools, from management information systems, and also key reporting that we think is important for us to have dialogue as we collectively think about how to evaluate our work and to use these data in an innovative way to inform other programs. And then lastly, we want to talk about action institutes or really training opportunities that we can have peer-to-peer learning, where we can have a sharing of resources and dissemination of tools that we're all working on together and look at these action institutes and training opportunities as an opportunity to be able to expand the work that we're doing and learn from each other and to take some very specific tools that we have developed within CDC's Health to Communities program and share them with you today. We'll be having Phyllis come up in a few minutes to talk about investments to communities. I did just very quickly mention a couple of different models that we currently work with STEPS and Strategic Alliance for Health Communities being funded through local and state health departments. Achieve and Pioneer in Healthy Communities are two examples we'll be talking about today that we work very closely with national partners, and there are funding opportunities that you may be interested in, especially with Achieve that we'll tell you about. And then, of course, Reach US is an amazing partnership that we have with community-based organizations. Brian will be coming up in a few minutes as well to talk about these key national networks through national partners and how much of this is around providing community-based funding to use the resources that are already in the localities and to have training that will help to expand upon those natural resources. I will be coming back to talk about tools and techniques and the approaches that we're currently using to be able to share some of those opportunities with you. And then, of course, we'll have Lindsay and Phil coming up to talk about our Action Institute, our training, as well as a handful of tools that you may be interested in your own work. I do want to just very quickly highlight our cdc.gov website, which is just a / Healthy Communities Program, all one word, where much of the resources that we're going to be talking about today you can find online. I brought several hard copies and I put them at the back and I realized they're gone even before we started, which I love. Thank you for taking those. And just know that if you go online, you'll be able to find these resources, or if you want to give me your card, I'd be glad to make sure you get them as well via the mail. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to my colleagues and we'll have Phyllis Nichols come up first.